We have tickets here today, our campaign staff. We have our name tags on. If your campaign staff wants to raise their hands, or actually stand up if you want to do that, that'd be better. We're selling tickets. So kind to come out here and campaign with us to speak for a bit and talk about the current state of affairs in the country. And I would like everyone now, please, to welcome Dr. Al Keith.
Especially in a political context in America, it's harder than it used to be, for me at least, because America, we always gather in a festive spirit when we do politics in America. I guess that dates from the time that our politicians started smiling when they did their portraits and photographs. And we will know that we have saved the Republic when our politicians stop smiling when they do their photographs and portraitures. That's not funny. I mean that quite seriously. Because we engage in politics as if it is not a business of the life and death of our country. And it is. And in 2010, mark my words, we shall decide whether this republic survives at all. I've just gotten through spending some time with young man, well, he's not young anymore, but he was a young man when he designed the 50-star flag here, which will soon become the longest-running flag in America's history. We've had 27 versions of the American flag, and this particular one, the 50-star flag, will soon reach its 50th anniversary. Well, I think we need to realize right this minute is that it's not only the longest-running flag in American history, it's very likely to be the last. And I don't say that as a speculation about some distant future. I would have. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I tried to warn folks that we were headed down a path that would destroy our liberty, destroy our republic, and leave us as the slaves of the very forms of government we have spent all the last 20, 30, 40, 50, 70, well nigh indeed the 200 years of our whole history fighting. Now, the individuals who will end the republic are not on the stage, they are in the seats of power. They have taken the most critical steps necessary to achieve that result. They have taken over the credit system, the banking system, the money is in their hands, and they have claimed the power to dictate our corporations and destroy our economic life. Business as usual in our politics is over. And soon the Constitution and our liberty will be over as well if we don't move now to make a difference. And how... the problem is, y'all, we don't have issues anymore. We don't have issues. We don't have the health care issue, the energy issue, the this issue, the that issue. These issues are but illustrations of the simple fact that our liberty has been undone. Notice I don't say is being undone. We have already handed power to its destroyers, and they are moving faster than anyone would have thought. And by the way, don't think that what I'm saying here is some kind of partisan streak where the Republicans up here, many of you know I left the Republican Party, or at least me. And it left me precisely because while Barack Obama has marched through the door to plunge this nation into totalitarian national socialism, let's call it by its right name, it is not liberalism. It is not some benign version of European socialism. These people have preached, they have written, they have taught, they have been explicit about their desire to bring communism to this society and to put an end to the constitutional government that, according to Obama, limits the government's ability to do things for us. What do these people say? Government's there to do things for us. No, it's not. Government is there to help us maintain the environment of order and security that allows us to build this country for ourselves. It is not the business of government to do it in our place. That's what Obama is about, but sadly, y'all, That's also what the crypto socialists, who have been altogether too long in control of the Republican Party, are about. They pretend to be conservative, but the first thing on their mind right now is to make sure no Ronald Reagan conservative ever comes to power in the Republican Party or in America again. And then we have to decide whether that's going to be enough, because, you know, it's all well and good to know that we're in trouble. What we've got to know as well is what we're going to do about it. And there's only one thing we can do. And that is to rise up and take back our country. And by the way, and I'll put it quite simply in one respect, and I'll be sort of broadening this theme this evening. I gave a speech for the first Tea Party Day back in April. And the theme of it, which continues, I think, to be the proper theme for our citizens right now, the theme of it was very simple. It's been a theme in American politics before. And if we manage to survive as a free people, we can hope it'll be a theme periodically. Because you see, when you get to a situation where the whole elite leadership of your country is evincing a desire to overthrow government of, by, and for the people, and can I stop here for a second? If you go back and review the thinking of our founding fathers, they understood one thing for certain, that when you establish a government of, by, and for the people, the princely few, the ambitious, the talented, the folks who have, throughout human history, dominated societies in spite of the people, been worshipped as little gods and decided life and death because they were better, they were stronger, they were more talented, they had more prowess at war and other things. And they chomped all over the little guys and the people who actually built the society. This was their vocation, and it will always be their vocation. Their energy, their talents, their abilities can be really useful to society. But that ambition is also deadly to liberty, deadly to dignity, deadly to the real freedom of individuals in that society, if you let them have a free hand. And that's why our Constitution limited government, limited their ambition, limited their ability to wield power without the consent of the people. And yet now, we are in the midst of a time when America's elites have decided that it's come time, the Constitution's passé, and they're going to overthrow government of, by, and for the people, going to push sovereignty aside. And we see it in every respect. We see it in the health care proposals, the cap and trade proposals, the immigration proposals. Every single one of them has this in common, that it pushes aside the views, pushes aside the sovereignty, pushes aside the interests of the American people in order to pursue an agenda being dictated to us by a handful of elitists who think they know better than we do what our country should look like and where it should go. And we have to decide whether we're going to sit back and let this happen, or whether we're going to do what has had to be done in every generation of America's life from time to time. Jefferson was entirely right, you see. Every now and again, people have to just rise up and show that they're going to stand on their rights, stand on their liberty, stand on their dignity, stand on their sovereignty, and not be trampled by those who are supposed to be their representatives, but start acting like their masters. We have come to such a time. Would simply be, and I kind of wish, I know there are a lot of Americans now who probably wish that somehow or another it could be erased, but if we could, all of us, just kind of snap our fingers and take every single person presently representing us in the government and send them home, I'm willing to bet a vast majority of Americans, they wouldn't care about their label, they wouldn't care about their record. Because I'll tell you something, the Democrats are bad for trying to force socialism down our throats, and the Republicans are bad for standing there and not calling it by its right name. Standing there and holding their protest to go through the door. Honestly, it's a step of watching them betray everything we fought for our entire lives. And allowing this little tin pot would-be communist Nazi dictator regime we fought so hard to keep from being established everywhere else in the world. We have come to the end of our patience because they are pushing America to the end of its rope. And that means a very simple fact, which is why I'm here. As Einstein said, though you don't have to be an Einstein to appreciate that. Keep doing the same thing over and over again and think you're going to get a different result is the very definition of insanity. So here we are in a situation, and I will be going into this in further detail this evening. We're in a situation where we are being asked to keep doing the same thing over and over again. We've got to live within the confines, not just the confines, by the way, of a two-party system, but the confines of a two-party system in which the choices that are placed before us on election day will be dictated to us by a handful of party bosses who want us to roll over and play dead while they set up our choices and then pretend we're free. If you don't make the choices, you don't make the choice. If you don't lift up the people who are finally placed on your ballot, then you are being dictated to by whatever moneyed interest, whatever power interest, whatever dictatorial interests have decided who's going to be there representing you. If we want change in Washington this time, it will only come from candidates who don't have a chance of being elected unless we support them and back them and finally vote for them. If somebody on the air tells you they know who the winner is before election day, that's the candidate you should not vote for. How do people know who the winner is before we vote? If you know who the winner is before we vote, that means our vote didn't determine a winner. And if our vote didn't determine a winner, who runs America? Who rules America? Who decides the fate of America? That's what we need to be worried about. And so this time around, we need to reach deep into the American spirit, and we need to find what has been one of the fabled characteristics of the American people. My wife, who originally comes from India, and there is a word we use that she hadn't heard till she got to America. It's the word ornery. I think we need, in 2010, to be the most ornery people and produce the most ornery result that has ever been seen in the history of this country. And if we do, I think we'll stand a chance of turning things around. Now, I'm going to go more deeply into the whys and wherefores of all of this evening, but there's one simple thing I would like to leave with you. And you won't be surprised, those of you who know me, because it is the theme of all my political life. And it will continue to be, because it is the true, single, most important issue that confronts America today. And I say it, and I will argue it, whether people like it, whether they don't like it. I can't help it, because it just is so true. I believe strongly in the Constitution of the United States. And of course, I've taken several times in my life the oath that we all took today in some form or other, as I was swearing that oath and undertaking responsibilities in the diplomatic service and in the U.S. government. But there's something I think we tend to forget now, and because we forget it, we are losing the Constitution. It's a simple question. Do you really think a house can stand when you have allowed its foundations to be blown up, destroyed, and torn apart? Answer yes or no.
No.
No. What is the foundation of the Constitution?
The Word of God.
That explains why it is that there must be elections periodically, due process, why it is that we must have a limited government and checks and balances and separated powers in order to make sure that what happens? That the government power cannot be abused to assault and violate and destroy the unalienable rights which come to us not from government, but from Almighty God. Here is another thing I would tell you to predict the kind of people you need to send to Washington this time. You need to send folks to Washington who are not ashamed of this truth, but who are willing, every time they open their mouths practically, to remind Americans. What I just said isn't Alan Keyes' opinion, and it's not just my religious view or anything like that.
The words of the Declaration of Independence ascribe our unalienable rights to the Creator. And there has been, time and time again, an attempt to substitute something else. But guess what?
It all boils down to the same thing. They can't get away from it.
You have a simple choice. Either the rights come from the Creator, and we, the people, therefore, derive an authority that requires that government be based upon consent. Or those rights don't come from the Creator, but are some kind of, you know, the best argument that is usually made by Antonin Scalia, who most people think is a wonderful conservative, but he's actually a legal positivist who does not acknowledge the foundation of the Constitution. He thinks that the U.S. Constitution is what it is because of what was called in the parlance of law the consensus gentium, that is to say, the agreement of the people. And so the words, we the people, at the beginning of the Constitution, they somehow constitute its claim to legitimacy.
But guess what?
People have agreed on all kinds of awful things in the course of human history. People have agreed, gotten together, and because they have more force, more power, more smarts, more this, more that, more the other thing, they have pointed to groups of people, and each and every one of you, if you examine your background, have ancestors who were part of such a group. The group that was the serf, the group that was the peasant, the group that was the worker downtrodden and beaten apart, the group that was the out when others were in, that was the down when others were up, and said, they have no rights. And we can treat them as if they were dogs or dirt under our feet. As Jefferson said, some born with saddles on their backs and others booted and spurred to ride them. So you see, that we the people thing is all well and good. But the founders never intended to establish a democratic tyranny in America. Never intended to establish a place where, because people agree on injustice and wickedness and evil and oppression, that has the status of law. And there is only one way to guarantee that human beings will never think that their power and their vote and their majority and their talent establish the premise of justice, and that is when in every generation and in every mind and in every heart it is eternally remembered that that justice is established by the will of God and no human being can touch it. We will deal first of all with the issues that have people denying that God's authority is relevant. The issues that are tearing apart our family, destroying our dedication to our children's future. Because if you can kill them in the womb, you certainly aren't going to care whether you burden them with deadly debt that turns them forever into slaves.
Right.
So the time is coming. We need to put it all back together. The coherent foundation and all its consequences.
Right.
The limited government, the free economy, the respect for family and parental authority that is the true basis of education. We need to put it all back together. And then we need to stand up asserting ourselves, not just because we want something. That's what these guys are thinking all the time, you know. Let's go and give them what they want. Are we not the sovereign people of the United States?
Yeah.
Now, those words, we the people, at the beginning of the Constitution, means that we act as the sovereign. We decide not only what laws shall be passed, but what the form of law shall be, what the form of government shall be, what those who exercise government authority shall have to respect as the limit on their power. That's true sovereign. But since when is it the business of the sovereign to think only of him or herself? Imagine a king got up every day and said, what have you done for me lately? Where is my money? Where is my pleasure? Where are my women? Where is my power? Where is my this? Where is my that? Are you taking care of me? It is not the business of the sovereign to worry all the time about somebody else taking care of them. It is the business of the sovereign to take care of the nation, to take care of the justice, to take care of the whole people, that they may survive and prosper for the future, and to take especial care of the generations yet unborn to whom we owe our solemn obligation. If we are to be the sovereign body of the American people, if we are to be, as we have been set up by Providence, to be the kings, the queens of America, when are we going to start acting again as kings and queens should act?
caring not for ourselves alone, but for our children, and for our future, and for our country, and what it is to represent humanity and the world. That is, in fact, what's at stake in this election. And therefore, we must look for the candidates of independent background and independent voice who are standing solidly on what is the true ground of America's independence. That great understanding that as our rights come from God, we should go down on our knees before no government. And as our rights come from God, we should rise up in confidence that the government is to be the instrument which helps us to shape the environment of our liberty. Not to do all things for us while gathering the power with which to destroy us, but to confine itself to that power that builds, while we retain for ourselves the role and activity that truly produces the result that is America's future. I think that if we can do that, then we can turn 2010 from an election in which we confirm that the Republic is dead, to an election in which, by reviving the true spirit and understanding that made America possible, we take the world's breath away by rising again from what they think now are the ashes of our liberty, to lift the mind and heart of all humanity back to that shining city on a hill, that wondrous city of liberty fulfilled under the rule of law determined by the justice of God, which was Reagan's vision, which is America's hope, and which will be again if we let it. It's destiny. God bless you.